You know, we are right now in a series called Breakthrough Prayer, where we are learning about the Lord's Prayer. And as we're learning, it should properly maybe be called not the Lord's Prayer, but the what? The Disciples' Prayer, because it's what Jesus used to teach us how to pray, to teach us how to pray. You know, so this morning, take your Bibles and open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and take your sermon notes. It's there too. And as you're turning there, getting that ready this morning, I just want to brag on our praise band this morning. You know, Taryn's been working with them, and they've been kind of like on the spur of the moment in case Taryn goes into labor and there's nobody to lead. And did they do a good job this morning? They've been like on standby, like, are we going to have the baby? Are we not going to have the baby? So we're going to have the baby, all right? We just don't know when, all right? So we just got to see what the Lord's doing. But I brag on them today for them being ready at the drop of the hat just to do it if Taryn's not here. So I praise God for them. They did awesome today and just grateful for them. You know, as we've been talking about prayer, we know that we sometimes are in situations in our life where things feel like we're stuck or that we're not progressing like we need to, or that just we just don't know what to do. So we're learning how to pray for God to lead us and guide us in a way that we'll see His glory come. So if you have your Bibles, and we've been doing this for each of the sermons, we've been standing to read the passage of Scripture, but also to kind of focus our hearts on the Lord, to focus our hearts on God, and we're making this our prayer. So let's stand, and let's read the Lord's Prayer together, but let's pray it from our hearts as well. We'll have it on the screen, okay? It's in your notes, it's in your Bible. It says this. You ready? Here we go. Let's make this our prayer today. Our Father in heaven, Your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God, may You bless Your word today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. So we're learning the Lord's Prayer, and we've talked about how we come to our Father, and we pray for His will to be done, His kingdom to come, for His name to be honored. We ask Him to give us our daily bread. And then we get to this part that maybe is the toughest part of the Lord's Prayer to pray. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive those that have debts against us, or as we forgive our debtors. You know, I don't know about you, I don't like debt. Anybody like debt in the house today? I think when you say debt, we all just get a little bit sick in our stomach, right? You know, when me and Taryn got out of college, both of us got out of college, we walked out of college with two pieces of paper that we hung on our wall and $34,000 that we had to pay to that college. And student loans are not fun. And man, I remember we just early on in our marriage, we just said, man, we don't want this hanging over us. We don't want this just kind of, you know, choking us at the neck, you know. So we were blessed early on. We have some people introduce us to Dave Ramsey and his concepts, and we just worked hard, and we just started zapping every spare dime to debt, and we just started knocking it out. Before Gracie came, Taryn got a little part-time job, and every paycheck outside of our tithes and offerings, every paycheck went to debt, and we just aggressively knocked that out. Then the baby came, and it put it on brakes a little bit, and we praise God. Just like a couple months ago, we kicked Sally Mae and Fannie Mae out of the house, and we praise God for that. That is awesome, and we just felt this just tremendous release come off of us to know that we don't have to keep paying student loans anymore, and that's over, and just we praise God. And just kind of just an FYI for anybody here that's letting debt, I'm not really preaching about money debt today, but just FYI, you didn't ask for this, but you get this one for free, all right? If you don't let that hang on you. Zap it out. When you zap it out and you get rid of it, there is a tremendous release. You know, live off beans today so you don't have to eat beans tomorrow, you know? So just work hard and get those things out. But here's the deal. We are all familiar with debt. We live in a society familiar with debt. There's your first line. We live in a society very familiar with debt. Just listen to some of this, and this is kind of goes to the next line. First, America has debt. Did you know that? The United States has debt. According to one study I read yesterday in the Washington Post or the Washington Times, it says that we are probably somewhere as a nation of $17 trillion in debt. $17 trillion that we owe to other countries. $17 trillion. Sadly, what I think is happening is that our nation is setting the example to us that we have to live in debt, that we just are caught, debt's a reality and you have to live in it. We also have family debt. Families have debt. Families have debt. Listen to this. The average credit card house in the United States is about a $15,000 bill that we have. Average mortgage debt is about $156,000. Average student loan is about $32,000. That's right with what me and Taryn had. Those stats were almost true for us, right there with us. Total Americans consumers, when you add all of us together, we owe somewhere in the neighborhood of $11.85 trillion in debt. We have an increase, still not as much as the national debt, but we owe almost as much as it. We have 1.7% from last year's increase, $890 billion in credit card debt, $8.17 trillion in mortgages, $1.19 trillion in student loans. We are a society that's indebted. And here's the thing I know about debt is that you can feel debt, can't you? Y'all with me on that? You can feel it. When the credit card companies send you their bills and then you got to write that check out or you got to get online to see it, you can feel it. I mean, you can see it. One number in this account disappears while this one over here increases or vice versa. You can feel it. I mean, you can feel debt. But there's another side of debt that we should equally feel. There's another kind of debt that's not just American debt or family debt or societal debt or anything like that, but a different kind of debt that we sometimes forget about, that we sometimes don't pay attention to. And the reason I reference actual physical money debt is because you know what it feels like to be in physical debt. But if you look deep inside, you'll also realize there's another kind of debt that we also feel as well. And here's that third one. There's a spiritual debt that we have. A spiritual debt? Kenny, what are you talking about? I don't owe anything spiritually to anybody. Well, listen, here's first and foremost. You know God created you. Did you know that? You owe a lot to Him for creating you. Look at your neighbor and say, you were created. Get over it, okay? You know? You were created. Get over it. So, you know, here's the deal. We owe a lot to God that He brought us into this world, and we're to worship God, and we're to honor God, but yet we've not done that. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, if you know it, say it with me, for all have sinned and fall, what, short of the glory of God? What about Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death. Ooh. You work for sin, don't you? And the wage is death. Therefore, we are indebted to God. We have morally disobeyed God, spiritually disobeyed God. And as a result of that, we are indebted to our Lord. We owe Him spiritually for sinning against Him, for disobeying Him, for going the wrong direction. Sadly, this is not good if we die in our sins. The Bible teaches us that if we die in our sins, there is a real place called hell that we pay for our sins forever and ever. A place of isolation from God, a place that is isolation and separation from God, a place where we pay for our sins. See, we are indebted today. We have a spiritual debt that we carry, and this is not good. But I'm thankful today that I'm not a preacher of the bad news, but I'm a preacher of the gospel. And you know what the gospel is? Gospel is good news. So when I preach the gospel, guess what? I'm preaching some good news this morning. You know what? I didn't have anybody come along and give me debt forgiveness on my student loans. Did you know that? Every time I've taken out a credit card or something like that, I've never had somebody come along and write off my credit card debt. But can I tell you something really cool about spiritual debt? Our debt with God can be forgiven through Jesus this morning. You know what? Sally Mae ain't going to forgive you. All right? Discover ain't going to forgive you. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. For the wages of sin is death, but the what? The gift of God is eternal life. You ready for this? Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, went to an old rugged cross. He died on that cross for every single rotten, lousy thing you've ever done, past, present, future. He died on that. His blood was shed. His crown of thorns on his head, you know, nails in his hands. He did that for us because he loved us. That if any man whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Isn't that good news today? That if we trust in Christ, there is forgiveness today. There is the ultimate debt reconciliation program in Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool today? That spiritual debt is forgiven through Jesus today. That our debts can be forgiven. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are then transported and we are then placed into a relationship with God. See, a lot of people think that when we give our hearts to Jesus, it's just about going to heaven. Now, heaven's part of it, but it's not all of it. See, heaven is the destination when we get saved. It's the destination of our salvation. But when we're saved, God saves us to have a relationship with Him. You've heard me say this before. If the goal was heaven, every time somebody accepted Jesus, they'd drop dead and go to heaven, right? You know? That would be not good for evangelism and encouragement, okay? But here's the deal. That's not the way it is. Jesus comes in our life. He fulfills our life. He gives us purpose and meaning. He completes our life for us to grow every day in a relationship with Him. So when He teaches us how to pray, remember how it starts. Our what? Our Father. Implying what? That when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that we have a relationship with God right off the bat. This is a prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer for Christians. It's a prayer for those that know the Lord, our Father in heaven. And then we begin to pray this relationship. But you get to this one part. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive those that have debts against us. But here's my question today. Why is God asking us to pray, forgive us of our debts daily, when He's already forgiven us at the cross? I mean, if the cross of Jesus really paid for past, present, and future sins, and I believe that wholeheartedly, why do we pray daily, forgive us of our debts? I mean, are we renewing our salvation? Are we restamping our card? I don't think so. But I'd like for us today to explore that. Why do we continue to pray, forgive us of our debts, when Jesus Christ is already in our hearts in a relationship? Interest peaked today? Y'all ready to keep going? Let's do this, all right? Here we go. Why do we still pray, forgive us our debts, as we also forgive? Why do we still pray this in our daily prayers? Three things, really quick. First, when we pray that phrase, forgive us of our debts, we are making some statements today. I must acknowledge my ongoing debts to God. Now, here's the deal. Jesus said, forgive us of whose debts? Their debts? Forgive our debts. Now, here's the deal. When you accept Jesus, this is such a mystery. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. We are made new right there. Our spirits have been revived. The inside of us has been made clean. But there is still a problem, is that we still live in what we call the flesh. And you will have the flesh for as long as you live until the Lord takes your spirit out of you and takes you to heaven. And then one day gives you new flesh. But this old flesh is sinful. One thing to understand about flesh is that flesh comes in contact with the physical world. It's what the devil uses to tempt you. It's what the devil uses to distract you. He uses the senses. He uses all of that to lead you into sin. So that the great mystery, the great complex that we have is this, is that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. But the flesh is still on us too. So there is a conflict. And the conflict is this, that as long as you live, you will be wrestling with your sinful nature. Now the reality is that we will continue to sin. We won't give God all the obedience He desires. We won't give God the worship He desires. We won't give God the love He desires. Somebody would say, well, Kenny, I just don't understand why I became a Christian and I still struggle with sin. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why you still struggle with sin? Because you're still a human being. All right? You're still a human being. And you're going to continue to struggle. Listen to what 1 John 1:8 says. It says, if we say we have no sin, and he's talking to Christians, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you claim today never to sin, the Bible says you're a big old liar today. Guess what? You sin. And let me tell you something else. I sin too. It happens. It happens, Mike. It really does. But yet we are told in Ephesians 4:30 that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And what does that mean? That means that the Spirit who lives in us is hindered by our sin. He is hindered, and he's not allowed full access when we let sin into our lives. He's not allowed to do what he wants to do. So here's what happens. The great mystery. We are forgiven, past, present, and future. We still sin. So what does that sin do? Does it knock you out of going to heaven? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because of the grace of God. But here's what sin does. Are you ready? It puts a strain on your relationship with God. Have you ever had a strain on your family because of money debt? Yes or no? Tell me, church. Now, does that mean that if somebody in your family went out and run up a credit card without asking the other family's permission to do that, does that mean that they're no longer family? They're still family. Some of them are like, no, we kicked them out a long time ago, didn't we? No, they ain't with us anymore. No, no, no. But you know what? If they're blood, they're still blood. Amen. Here's the deal. We get Jesus in our heart, and we still run up debts. Amen? We still run up debts. And when we pray, forgive us of our debts, we're not asking for God to save us again. Okay? We're acknowledging that we still sin. Y'all with me, church? And likewise, we also acknowledge that as much as we needed Jesus the day we got saved, guess what? We need Jesus today. We're going to need him tomorrow. We're going to need him the day after tomorrow. And we're going to need him for the rest of our... Absolutely. When we pray that kind of prayer, we're making a bold statement that, you know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. And God's going to walk with me. He's going to have to walk with me every single day of my life because I am still in the flesh. And God's going to be pulling that out of me for the rest of my life. So you know what? Your sin, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, it does, I promise you, it puts a strain on your walk with God. It blocks what God's wanting to do. So we have to begin to acknowledge that we still sin against God. And then we also praise God that grace is there in Jesus Christ. The second part, I seek forgiveness for a better relationship with God. For a better relationship with God. We ask the Lord to forgive us. Now, sin in its nature is ugly and nasty. Sin causes death. And everything sin touches, it kills. It hurts. Sin will affect your marriage. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your church. It puts strains on everything. Now, when a Christian willingly goes into sin and refuses to repent, there's a word that we call that sometimes called backsliding or backslidden Christians, okay? Now, let me just tell you right here. God's will is not for a child of God to backslide. It's not his will for that to happen. It's not his will for a Christian to go backwards in their walk with God. God, we should always be persevering and going forward and growing and developing, not backsliding. When we backslide, something's not right spiritually inside of us. Now, a Christian will feel it when they are backsliding. They'll feel the conviction. They'll feel like something's lacking. They'll feel shame. They'll feel guilt. And somebody might say, Kenny, I feel this way. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? Actually, it's the exact opposite. As a Christian and you begin to feel that way, guess what? That means you probably are a Christian because Jesus lives in your life. And the Spirit of God is inside your life. So when you begin to do things that aren't of God, guess what? The Spirit tells you. He tells you, warning flags go off, buzzers start going off, and the Spirit starts saying stuff like, man, Kenny, this ain't right. Where does that come from? The Holy Spirit. Now, a person that continues to live in sin and never repents, never feels conviction over that? Are they a Christian? Hey, here's the deal. I'm not called to judge. But here's what I know. Is I know that if you don't ever feel any remorse over your sin or your backslidden state, I'm going to ask you this question. Were you ever a Christian to begin with? Did you ever know Jesus to begin with? I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about, did you ever even get salvation? Did he ever even come into your heart in a real, personal, saving relationship? Because I believe with all of my heart that a Christian that knows Jesus and the Spirit is inside of that Christian, I believe wholeheartedly that a Christian cannot share space with the devil and feel okay with it. Y'all with me, church? So when we pray, Lord, forgive us of our debts, we're saying, Lord, I don't want to be backsliding. I want to step forward. I want a better relationship. I want to build fellowship in my church. I want to minister to people. I want to evangelize those that don't know you. I want to grow as a disciple. I want to experience worship. I want to repent of my sin. Now, repentance is not a fun word in our culture. We don't say it very much, but it's a biblical word. Amen. Repenting means that we're going one direction, we stop, we turn our backs, and we go the other direction. And in the areas of sin, when God reveals sin into our life, we're told to stop going in that direction, to turn our backs on that sin, and to walk the other way. That's what we call biblical repentance. Well, Kenny, I'm a Christian, and as a Christian, I've done things that I'm not proud of. Well, God forgive me. Hey, I love what Romans 8:1 says, don't you? Therefore, there is now, say it with me if you know it, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Isn't that wonderful? There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, is what Romans 8:1 says. So, as a Christian, when sin comes into our life, we're not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about growing in our relationship. Growing in our relationship with the Lord. Now, we see this is that God is faithful. He's righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe there's some sins today that you need to repent of. Maybe God is bringing to your mind an attitude, a characteristic, something that's just not good that you need to repent of. If the Spirit is speaking to you today in that way, I ask you to be obedient to Him and to listen and not to let that hinder your walk with God, but to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Third, maybe the hardest part of the Lord's Prayer, amen? I remember to forgive others because God has forgiven me. Jesus tells us to pray and forgive us our debts. And can we just say this part together? As we also have forgiven our debtors. Hard to say, wasn't it? I ask you to pray the first part. Everybody's cool. Give me forgiveness. Amen. You ask people to say that part, they're like, blah, 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 blah. We love the forgiveness part of our own sins. And don't you just wish that part wasn't in the Bible? Be real. Don't you? Lord, I want to forgive, but I don't want to have to forgive others. I don't want to have to do that. But yet we're told this is exactly how it needs to be. Now, I want you to take, if you got a pen, okay? I want you to circle the word as. Can you do that? Circle the word as. You know what the word as means? I mean, we forget that word is in there. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive those that are our debtors. Forgive our debtors. That word as means this. It means like. It means how. It means while. So take that phrase and fill in the blank with those other words. And forgive us of our debts just like how we forgive other people. Would you like God to forgive you the same way you forgive other people? What about this? God, forgive me how I forgive other people. God, forgive me while I give forgiveness to other people. When you go down after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus thinks it's important for him to repeat this outside of the Lord's Prayer. You can jump down to verse 14 and he says, boy, again, one of those verses you just wish wasn't in there, but it is. Amen? Just being real. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. Man, is this really in there, Kenny? It is. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. Is that tough? Is it tough? But it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. We are told to forgive people just as Jesus has forgiven us. Let me ask you a question. Anybody owe you debt today? I'm not talking about you having debt. I'm talking about them owing you debt. I mean, just be real. Anybody owe you money today? And if they do, you know it, right? Anybody owe you money? You've been thinking about that money. Oh, they owe me. I got to get that money back. I got to do this. Has anybody hurt you today? Anybody ever been hurt? Anybody ever let you down? You know, I told my previous church when they hired me, I said, I can promise you two things, and I'll tell Life Community this too, two things. Kenny Rager will let you down, and you will let Kenny Rager down. Anybody ever took something from you? Stolen something from you? Claimed something that they shouldn't have? Jesus tells us we're to forgive them. The word forgiving is the Greek word aphiemi. And that word means this. It means to depart from, leave behind, divorce, cancel the debt. Jesus tells us that we are to leave behind what they owe us. We're to divorce that thought from our mind. We're to cancel their debt. We're to forgive them. Now, I want you just to real quick notice what he's not saying. Can I tell you that? He's not saying that that person that took from you was innocent. Did you know that? He's not saying that what they did was okay. Actually, when we give our lives to Jesus, you know what? He doesn't say that our sin was okay, right? He actually says we are sinners, but he paid for our sin. Amen? So when we forgive people, we're not saying that what they did was okay. That's where a lot of people mess up at. We're not saying that what you did was okay. He's also not saying that they're ready to be trusted. Listen, here's the deal. You steal money from me, I forgive you, but I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to let you hold my wallet. You know? Until you earn that trust. Forgiveness and trust are not the same things. Amen? Likewise, God's not even saying that they won't receive judgment for that. That'll be between them and God. What he is saying is that the judgment, the wrath, that's his stuff. Amen? Our stuff is to release that. Is to release that from our lives. And I know this is hard. It's really hard. But when the Holy Spirit is in you and He's moving in you, we can't help but not act like Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He forgives us. Amen? All the stuff that people have done to us, you know what? We've done that to God. Did you know that? We've stolen, we've abused God, we've mistreated God. We've done all that to the Lord. And he still forgives us because of the cross of Jesus. And now he says, I'm growing you to look like Jesus. Go forgive other people. It's hard, but it's the Word. So we pray, forgive us our debts as we've also have forgiven our debtors. While we forgive our debtors, like we've forgiven our debtors. There's an old story, it's an old illustration, but it's a good one. A little boy visits his grandfather on the farm, him and his sister. And his grandfather is a farmer. And he's got all kinds of animals and all kinds of fish in his pond and dogs and stuff like that. And grandfather loved the outdoors, loved the nature. And the boy had a slingshot. He was pulling the slingshot back and he was shooting cans and shooting trees and shooting stuff like that. And getting pretty good at aiming. And his grandfather loved ducks. Just loved ducks. Loved watching them walk around. He had bought them and raised them and whole nine yards. Loved ducks. Loved them. And that little boy, his grandfather and grandmother called him to come inside one day and said, come inside. It's time to eat supper. So him and the little girl run inside. The girl beats him in. And he just says, I'm just going to see how good my shot is one more time. And he rears that slingshot back, pulls it back, lets it go. Sure enough, he hits one of those prize ducks right in its head and kills one of his grandfather's ducks right on the spot. Only to turn around and his sister's watching everything from the front porch. They don't say anything. And they walk in and he's spending the summer with his grandfather. And one day the grandfather says, grandson, I need you to go out and to feed some of the animals. He says, I will. And he says, granddaughter looks at the sister, I need you to clean the windows for me. And the little girl said, well, grandfather, brother is going to clean the windows for me. And he said, clean the windows for you. And the little daughter says, or the little sister says, remember the duck. So he feeds the animals, and he cleans the windows too. The next day, the children are instructed to make up their beds. The little boy makes his up, and the little girl doesn't make hers. Only to look at the little boy and say what? Remember the duck. Makes her bed up. The chores keep going. He does his, and he also does hers. And every time that summer, remember duck. Until one day, he had enough. And he went into his grandfather's room, who was sitting there reading the paper, and he comes clean. He begins to cry, and he says, grandfather, I killed your duck. I took a slingshot, I shot it, I hit it in its head, I killed the duck, and I'm sorry. Grandfather puts his paper down, and he says, grandson, I saw you from the kitchen window kill my duck. And I forgave you the instant you did it. But why did you let your sister keep you in bondage the whole time? Why did you let your sister do that? Friends, today, the lack of forgiveness will keep you in bondage. It will hold you down. It will keep you from experiencing the full grace of God. It will hurt you. Likewise, when you forgive, when you don't give the grace of God to other people, you'll hold them in bondage. And some of y'all would like to do that. That's why you've not forgiven them. But that's not God's plan. That's not His plan. Today, I ask you one question and I'm done. What do I need to confess today? And who do I need to forgive? What do I need to confess? And who do I need to forgive? Because today God's will is for you to know Jesus in a personal relationship and to grow in that relationship. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning as our praise band comes? Father, we love you. We thank you for Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And Lord, right now, we ask you, Jesus, to fill our hearts with the Spirit of God. Lord, we pray today that if somebody doesn't know you as Savior, that they would give their hearts to you and would be saved. And Father, today, if we are living in a backslidden state, in sin, Lord, that we would repent of that sin. That we, Lord, would give our hearts to you in a clean and fresh way. God, today we praise you that you give us grace, ongoing grace, that you don't hold that back from us because you're just good. And Lord, today we ask you to help us to forgive also those that hurt us. We're not saying what they did was okay. We're just saying we're putting it in your hands. And we're not going to let that sister tell us what to do. Jesus, we love you. Move in our lives today. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, shedding your blood, for giving us forgiveness. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand. Our deacons are here if you want to pray with you. Our altar's open. If you need to make a decision, a public confession of faith, won't you come today as God is calling you?